see my jawline was getting like pins and needles in it as well.
Mm.
Which I thought was quite strange. I thought that's not right.
I just thought you just had blowjob jaw, that's what it was.
I didn't care whether they take that as a compliment or not, actually, but you said that the beer that I drink's like piss water anyway, so
well,
I'll remember that. Anyway.
Yeah. What are you playing with?
Sorry?
What are you playing with here?
What am I playing with? It's just a coat hanger, mate.
That's all. Sorry, getting an alcohol delivery there.
All right, okay. Look at you.
Uh-huh. Need to do it, considering I can't get to the pub, eh?
I'm just jealous I can't taste it. Can it spread COVID through the airwaves, mate?
Went down the wrong way, but just meant I had to drink more alcohol to combat
right,
it. So.
Okay, aye, that's exactly how you do, Derek.
Yep.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, place yourself.
Hi everyone and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Derek, I am all right, mate. As you know, I had to go for a wee COVID test today and waiting on the results, but I feel fine. I don't feel any different just apart from a sense of taste, which is quite strange. But apart from that, I'm all right. It seems like it's been ages since we've recorded. It's actually been a month, but because our football team is so successful, we've got games galore to cover, haven't we? So we've got like tons and tons of matches that we've missed just over that short space of time. I mean, we used to go sometimes months without recording, but as I say, because things have been going so well, it's just been matches, matches, matches. So I know you've got a lot to get over tonight, so I think it's going to be a busy one.
Yep, six games to cover, going all the way back to the 10th of December. You know, as you said, it's been less than a month, so it's so many games. But in seriousness, Dave, I hope you're okay, and it'll be the last time you send me any pictures of you sitting in a pub in Falkirk drinking pints. Won't it, Dave?
I know, I can feel the jealousy. I can feel the jealousy, mate. That's terrible that you've got the COVID voodoo doll out and you're sticking pins into me just because I had three pints in a pub and you didn't. That's absolutely shocking.
It's three more pints than I've had in the last 6 months in a pub.
So. Exactly. And it was great. It was really, really great, mate. It really was.
Aye.
You bastard.
So yes, as I said, Dave, I hope you're fitting well anyway and hope it comes back negative.
It's not going to stop me recording the pod, Derek. Maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know, but it's not going to stop me.
So we may as well go down the tunnel and onto the park. So we're going all the way to the 10th of December when we played Lech Poznan. It was a 2-0 win away in Europa League Group D Game 6, which rounded out the league, which a fantastic result again, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, Derek. It was the game where I think everybody said, oh, we don't need to win, we'd qualified already, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we wanted to be professional, didn't we? And we wanted to go out with a win, and it was excellent, Derek. It was a thoroughly professional performance, incredibly efficient, and a fantastic result.
Absolutely. We still made seven changes, though, didn't we,
yep,
from the Ross County game? We lined up McLaughlin, Patterson, Goldson, Balogun, Barisic, Zungu, Arfield, Kamara, Aribo, Hadji and Itted. On the subs bench, we had McGregor, Tavernier, Bassey, Kent, Morelis, Barker, Stewart, Barjonas, Kinnear and Dixon. There was a minute's silence as well before the game because World Cup winner Paolo Rossi died aged 64 as well. So sad news, that one. But the first half itself, not the greatest of games for either team. A raft of changes for both teams may have contributed to that. Poznan's were forced because they had a few injuries and a few COVID issues as well. Ours was more a case of giving players rests.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the changes, is it was still a bloody great team we put out as well, despite the seven changes, which goes to show the strength and depth of the squad we've got now, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does, Derek. And going on by the game as you're about to go on, you know, everybody was fantastic. It didn't look as if any of them were sort of bit part players, did they?
Yeah, we had a decent amount of possession. However, a number of wayward passes in the final third, and I think maybe the changes may have contributed to that. Just as much as they were playing well, maybe the lack of game time together might have contributed to the lack of togetherness right in the final third there. But in the third minute, there was a corner from Poznan on the right, skipped through our defence and deflected out to the edge of the box on the far side. Poznan player picks it up, moves inside and hits a shot. Ball bounces in front of McLaughlin, who made a diving save to collect the ball. 15th minute, good move from Poznan, feeding the ball into the box. However, Balogun done well and nipped in to put out for the corner. The resulting corner was played short, cross in from the right into the centre of the box. Their attacker gets a free header, which just goes over the bar. It really should have been a goal, to be honest.
Yeah, we got away with that one, Derek, but, you know, we'll take that.
However, our fortunes were turned on the 31st minute when we went 1-0 up with Itton scoring. It was a short goal kick by Poznan. The defender on the left passed it inward. The receiving player tried to pass it back, but it was short and going to absolutely nobody. Itton nipped in, picked up the ball, took it to the edge of the box, cut outside and hit a great shot high into the net, into the near post. A brilliant goal, just a brilliant vision as well, just to see the wayward pass there, to pick it up and then great execution.
Derek, and for the angle that he struck it as well, with such power and precision, I was really quite surprised, because as you say, he picked the ball up and he sort of, you know, he went on his right hand side, you know, away from goal, and you were really half expecting him to be waiting for somebody to make that run into the box and the cut back, but no, he had one thing on his mind. Just what the sort of thing that Morelos was doing all of last season. He only had one thing on his mind, and that was getting a shot on target, and he absolutely rifled that one, didn't he? Right past the goalkeeper. Such a tight angle. Absolutely tremendous finish. But, you know, there was a lot of people were having doubts. He wasn't getting a lot of game time. We weren't sure about him at all, but that certainly showed, you know, the quality that the guy has. An absolutely brilliant finish.
Yep, absolutely. 41st minute, long ball played up from defence, knocked on at the midfield line by Itton to the on-running Hadji, who beat the offside trap. Ball was held up, he tried to cut inside, he hits a shot off the defender's legs and out for the corner. He could have done better than that one there, but at least he was getting in the position. And that's how the half ended up. So being 1-0 up, obviously got to be happy with that going into the second half. As I said, not playing fantastically, but it was the same for both teams in that respect. Yeah. And you got to be happy.
Yep. Totally.
50th minute, Hadji with a shot through the defence. It was a weak effort right at the keeper. 55th minute, a free kick from Poznan 20 yards out on the right, up and over the wall, forcing a diving save from McLaughlin to put it out for the corner. That was probably their best chance up until that point there. Resubstitution on the 65th minute, Patterson came off and Tavernier came on. He had done well. I think he had a few hairy moments right at the start, maybe just finding his feet again, but he proved to be, you know, very effective and done his job very well. You know, all credit to him.
Yes.
The game was rounded out on the 71st minute and we went 2-0 up with Hadji scoring. It was a free kick from 35 yards, floated into the middle of the box. Goldson with a great header. Keeper makes an arse of it and has a half-hearted attempt to get it on his left side. The ball hits off the bar, hits off the line and up on the spot. The player seemed to stop. However, Hadji keeps on going and heads it over the line. Deserved the goal from Goldson from the header as it was in the first place, but just great vision from Hadji to make sure it was well and truly over the line, because it was initially given, I think, as Goldson's goal. However, on replay, as you've seen, it bounced right on the line and right back up again and never crossed it until Hadji headed it back in.
That's right, yeah. And that's how I thought. See, last year, Derek, when we brought Hadji in and he was playing quite well, I kind of thought that this season that would be his sort of role, whether he was getting played in midfield or as a part of a front three, being a sort of poacher without him being centre forward, if you know what I mean. And that's just like what he did there. He really has got an eye for goal. He's been suffering, you know, I think a bit with lacky matches and confidence, but that's certainly showed you. He seems to really sniff out the danger like that, and he knew that he still had to get something in the end of that to make sure it went in. And, you know, all credit to him, he was there. It wasn't a wonder goal or anything, Derek, that we've seen him score before, but again, great vision by him to get in there and just make sure that the ball was in. So, no, absolutely brilliant, Derek. And again, for a guy like I said, being a fringe player for us like Itton, absolutely brilliant for their confidence.
Yep, absolutely. 75th minute, Hadji got the ball on the left, cuts inside at the edge of the box, hits a curling shot, forcing a good save from the keeper, and he put it out for the corner. 76th minute, Zungu and Hadji off, Barker and Kent on. 79th minute, Itten and Balogun off, Morelos and Bassi on. And that's how the game ended out. And just, you've got to give the team a massive amount of plaudits for that. Winning the game, considering there was seven changes, it was a bit of a dead rubber game, granted. However, there was still a lot to play for us. It was effectively £1 million game.
Yep.
You obviously get the win, that's £500,000. You top the group, as we did, and you get an extra £500,000. So something a Scottish team hasn't done before, got that amount of points and topped the group as well. So we had played 6, won 4, drawn 2, lost 0, scored 13, conceded 7, goal difference 6, and 14 points. And considering the two games that we'd drawn, we were 90 seconds away from on each of the games from being wins as well. No chumps in that group whatsoever. And I was sceptical about people saying that we should definitely qualify, we should be topping the group, and we've done it with flying colours, and it was just an incredible achievement there, wasn't it?
Derek, to be honest with you, I never heard anybody saying that at all. All I heard was that Rangers would be incredibly, incredibly lucky to even get second place in that group when it was drawn. We were told we were going to get hammered by Benfica. We were told we were going to get beaten by Liège. And the game in Poland was going to be, you know, well, you might be lucky enough to get a win at Ibrox, but you'll know win both games. That's all I heard as soon as that draw was made. So for us to win that group undefeated with that amount of points is an incredible achievement. Absolutely fantastic. Steven Gerrard has proved time and time again when it comes to Europe, he's got Rangers playing in that way extremely efficient. It's like more sort of German-esque, if you know what I mean. It's just a very, very efficient, very professional, and you know, executing perfectly. Game plan executed perfectly as well. And as you say, apart from two blips right at the end of the games, we had maximum points for that group. We were very, very unlucky not to do so. But for us to go through top of the group, to be seeded, as you're about to get into, you know, with the draw that we've got, it's just a fantastic achievement, Derek. It really is. We're chuffed to bits, all of us, with that. And for a sort of, no second string, but, you know, players on the periphery of the squad to come in and play so well in the last game, it's just, it's excellent. It's great competition for all the players and, you know, really, really looking forward to the next set of European games.
You really need to stop going on the Celtic forums again, Dave, you know, fearing all the negativity about us.
Negativity.
Yes, so as Dave was mentioning there, we were drawn against Royal Antwerp of Belgium in the last 32 to be played on Thursday the 18th of February and then a week later on Thursday the 25th of February. Unclear if we're home or away first. I'm not too sure if that's been decided yet, but certainly a very favourable draw. At this stage of Europe, you cannot take anyone for granted at all. But it's a great opportunity to get into the last 16 again. Who knows where we can go in this? Well, I think ultimately we've done our job so far in terms of that. Anything else after this is a bonus. I know other people might see it as, well, it's, we should be getting to at least the last 16. But given the status we're putting on the league campaign this year, you could be forgiven that other people might think of Europe as a distraction. I want to do well in every single competition.
Yes.
There is nobody in there, given the fact the way we've played so far in Europe this year, there is nobody in there that I would be fearing. Maybe that's been over optimistic, especially since we've hit maybe not the greatest of patches we're playing just now, but certainly how I know we can play, especially in Europe, then, you know, we should be fearing no foe.
Exactly, no, and it's one of these things in Europe now, Derek. We've not really got anything to prove now. There's no pressure on us, like I've said before. In Europe, when we're playing the big games, there's no pressure, and that's when we're at our best, Derek. We are at our best when we are the underdogs. Now, this next game, we may be the favourites for the next game, so that's, you know, maybe something, you know, that I'm not too comfortable about, because it does look like a very favourable draw we've got. But I'm not looking too far ahead, Derek. I'm just delighted that you know they're there, and we have got these games coming up to look forward to. So absolutely chuffed to bits.
Yep. So the next game we've got was on Sunday the 13th of December. It was a 2-1 win away against Dundee United in the Premiership. Six changes from the Poznan game. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Balogun, Barisic, Davis, Kamara, Arfield, Kent, Roof and Morelos. On the subs bench were McLaughlin, Bassey, Hellander, Hadji, Defoe, Itten, Zungu, Patterson and Aribo. Dundee United not without their problems as well. They had to make a number of changes because of COVID-related issues as well. First half, it was a hard-fought first half. We weren't getting it all our way. I wouldn't say we were poor. We were still playing some good, quick, one-touch stuff. But Dundee United were well up for it, weren't they?
No, they were, Derek. And I kind of thought they would be with everything that happened with them, the amount of players that they had missing and, you know, coaching staff and stuff like that. I kind of thought that there would be, you know, a very sort of gritty performance by them. I wasn't expecting and a walkover like it was the last time. I think sometimes we're better playing teams at full strength than, you know, these guys that have, you know, have got something to prove. And as you say, wasn't it the fact that we were playing particularly badly, but they were defending well, Derek, weren't they? They were closing down very, very well and making it really difficult for us. So I think that was it.
Yep. So in the 8th minute, it was a scrappy defending, kind of pinball-esque in our box from a corner, eventually put out for another corner. 11th minute, Morelos picks up the ball in midfield, drives it forward 20 yards, hits a powerful shot along the ground and just wide of the left post. And then a moment of stupidity from Morelos, because in the 12th minute, needlessly jumps into a Dundee United player when going for a non-ball, and he leads with the forearm. And he connects with the face of the Dundee United player. He was given a yellow, and at the time, and even since then, every Rangers fan have said, well, we got away with one there because It should have been a red card, shouldn't it have been?
Silly man, Derek. We said it before, we've been praising him this season for his behaviour. He's not been fouling, you know, getting as many yellow cards and stuff like that. We've all been praising him for it, but that was just I don't know what happened before he make him do that, if there'd been any wee sort of niggling fouls or whatever. No excuse though, Derek, and as you say, we were lucky to get away with that one there. When we look back, he's a very lucky man. But even then, you're then worried that things are going to spill over, aren't you? Because he's yellow carded and you're saying to yourself, they'll just be going out now to wind him up. So, you know, he could be sent off very easily. So you're kind of walking at a tightrope for then, isn't he?
Yeah, but Kel Surprise, he was cited by the compliance officer and given a 2-game ban. That's despite the compliance officer clearing Scott Brown yet again of another stamp on a player where it should have been a red card in the game and he should have been retrospectively banned. But once again, he gets let off with it.
Yep.
Ultimately, though, we can have no complaints about this one. It was justified. However, the point is, it was dealt with at the time by the referee, or so we thought. However, it's been completely fudged, because what it boiled down to is the referee's effectively given him a yellow card for jumping into the player, which was never a yellow card in the first instance. We've accepted it, though, and it's maybe been a case of, well, get the ban over with rather than disputing it. It's extra money we need to pay to the appeal, and if he gets found guilty, which he would do in this case, then he would be banned for an extra number of games, which would have included the Celtic game, I think. So, yet again, though, Morelos let himself, the club and the fans down. And as you said, he's been doing so well this year with that side of it. It was a needless challenge to begin with. And for him to lead with a forearm, it was diabolical there. Gerrard never really coated himself in glory in the post-match either, where he refuted, granted it was a forearm and it wasn't an elbow, if that was the point he was making, but he was quite vociferous in his comments saying it wasn't the elbow, he never led with the elbow. So I don't know, he could have maybe handled that a wee bit better post-match, especially if we're going to accept any compliance officer ban post-match, but that's a story for another day, isn't it?
Yep.
However, despite that, we went a goal up on the 25th minute with Tavernier scoring. It was a 30-yard stunning free kick, centre to the goal, lofted high up and over the wall into the top left corner. A stunner, wasn't it?
Absolutely incredible, Derek. Again, we all know how well that Tav's been playing this season. We all know what he's capable of, but that, even that for him was something quite spectacular, wasn't it? It was some distance out, but the power and the curl that he got on it as well to get it over the wall. And as I say, you couldn't have hit it any better. It couldn't have been any more accurate than it was. Absolutely incredible goal.
30th minute was a break up the park. Kent drifting to the left, cuts it back to Roof, who was well behind. The ball held up, got the ball. He beat the player in the box, couldn't quite round the keeper, and the ball was knocked out for the corner. Just a great burst of pace from Roof to get the ball in the first place there, and really all his work to get the corner.
Yep.
However, all the good work was undone in the 32nd minute because Dundee United drew level. It was a cross from deep left into the back post, finds his man on the volley at a very tight angle across the goal, past the players and into the back of the net. It's been a feature of the goals we've been losing lately, this just kind of diagonal ball into the box, the defenders not picking it up. Granted, it was a very good cross, but for them to get the free kick in the first place, to lose possession so easy, and people slagged him for this, but Stuart Weir did say that Morelos lost the ball in the first place well into the Dundee United half. If he wasn't on a yellow card, he could have went for that 50-50 ball with a wee bit more gusto. And if he got a booked, then so be it. It would have stopped the play. But that's a feature that ultimately the yellow card, it really kind of hampered Morelos' play. And you could argue that it cost us that goal there. Still, though, a lot of defending to do before it even got to that far.
Yes, no, you're right. And as I say, I had just said it before, Derek, he was walking on a tightrope there, and I think he knows himself that he's been watched the slightest wee thing. And you're quite right. If he hadn't had a yellow, he would have went for that, you know, 100%. So it was, again, it's the circumstances done that. But again, we should have dealt with the actual ball a bit better than we did, and the goal, and we didn't. So unfortunately, they pulled a goal back at that point when, you know, really we should have been trying to close, that half out, but it wasn't to be.
No. The 40th minute, worked the ball on the right, ends in Kent crossing the ball into the box, slightly behind Tavernier, who has a volley and just over the bar. 42nd minute, ball on the right, Kent cuts it inside, gets to the edge of the box, crosses to the centre, and Morelos with a header over the bar. However, on the 42nd minute, just before half-time, we went 2-1 up with Goldson scoring. So a free kick 30 yards from goal on the right, Tavernier floats the ball on the right side of the box, Goldson, who was initially offside, drifted back onside and had a great glancing header into the back of net. Great goal.
Excellent goal. As you say, Derek, it was great to reposition himself, you know, to get back in. But again, accuracy, absolutely brilliant by Goldson. He's been excellent for us, you know, in those positions. A real threat and a brilliant ball. And again, Batav, wasn't it? So, you know, we deserve to be winning, Derek, because although we gave the goal away, Dundee United hadn't really done anything, you know, against our goal, and, you know, it was us that was having all the play. So I was absolutely delighted to be going in at half-time winning at that point. And I think, you know, that must have really knocked the wind out of their sails at that point, didn't it?
Yeah. So into the second half, 51st minute, Morelos with a snapshot from 20 yards, but well wide. 57th minute, Goldson bundled to the ground in the box during a set piece. Absolutely nothing given. That'll feature heavily because of our comments from a manager that his team were going
Premier
to
League
face.
Premier League manager, yep.
Yes, clearly nothing given there. 63rd minute, free kick on the left from Barisic, floated into the box. Balogun gets ahead to it, but couldn't direct it goal bound. The ball falls to the ground and Goldson blasts it over the bar with the follow-up. 65th minute, Roof with a lovely 35-yard diagonal from left to right into the box. Lovely first touch from Morelos, tries to round the keeper, but not quick enough. Ball spills, then Morelos gets in the road of the follow-up shot. 71st minute, ball worked down the right, cross on the deck from Kent, blocked by the defender, rebounded out to Arfield, who again passes onto the deck. Morelos, who was stretching, effectively blocked the ball on the line, and it was eventually cleared. Morelos working against us there.
Yep.
He was subbed a minute later because he came off in the 72nd minute and Itton came on. 75th minute, long ball from Goldson down the right. Keeper committed himself, comes out of the box. Itton rounds him, manages to get the ball to Arfield, who has a shot on the right side of the box and cleared off the line by the head of the defender out for the corner. 88th minute, corner from the right to the near post. Arfield with a header off the post, off the leg of the keeper and out for another corner. Very unlucky that one.
Really unlucky, I know.
And the last two plays I've got here is the 81st minute, Kamara off and Zungu on. 86th minute, Kent off and Aribo on. So ultimately, the second half was, I would say, was a complete contrast from the first one, because the first one, Dundee United certainly, I would say, gave us a game. Second half, they were non-existent.
Absolutely, and nothing.
We bossed without getting the ball over the line. A couple of unlucky chances as well. So, got to be happy as well. Going away to Dundee United, their tails will be kind of up because they've got a makeshift team as well. Just delighted to get away with 3 points.
It was, Derek, but we are very panicky as a Rangers support, aren't we?
Yeah.
I stay away from social media completely when I'm watching the games, because I end up getting myself so uptight and so anxious if we are not winning by a few goals. And looking back on the game, Derek, we completely controlled the whole of that second half. We never gave them a whiff. We were never in any danger in the second half. But if you look back at some of the comments, it was as if Dundee United were absolutely battering us. Some people just, I don't know what it is. I think that as a support, and I'm putting ourselves in here, I'm making this a collective thing, I think we just need to chill out, Derek. Eh? It's like, you know, we're controlling the game. Watch the game for what it is. And it'll be the same coming up for the last game here, which, you know, we'll get into with the Hibs game. I think we're just needing to, but because we're not hammering teams, a lot of people, I think it's all because there are a lot of younger fans, Derek, now, who didn't live through the Walter Smith era Rangers, and Alec McLeish as well, where we won a hell of a lot of games by one goal. And we did hang on and hang on and hang on. But it was seen as the norm. It was seen as being gritty and being seen as champions, being able to hold on to a lead. Whereas for some reason now, it is, oh, we're getting completely outplayed and, you know, we're really lucky and, oh my God, that's it. You know, it's like everybody's needing to chill the fuck out. Do you not think so?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get on to that with the next game here.
Yeah, I think it just seems to be, unless we're winning inside the first 20 minutes, Derek, everybody panics. Everybody goes total panic mode. We've not got the same team as we did under Mark Warburton. We've not got the same team we had under Pedro Caixinha. We've not even got the same sort of mentality we did when Steven Gerrard first came in. We have got a team of winners at the moment. And we've got, he's got the team sorted out. I think we're needing to have a bit more faith, Derek. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Next game we've got to cover is the rather disappointing one, which was Wednesday, the 16th of December. It was a 3-2 loss away to St Mirren in the League Cup quarter-final, and arguably the best chance of silverware this year,
yes.
Given the fact that Celtic are out. Just really, really disappointing. But we made four changes from Dundee United. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Balogun, Bassey, Arfield, Zungu, Aribo, Roof, Kent and Eden. On the subs bench were McLaughlin, Hellander, Hadji, Defoe, Davis, Patterson, Kamara, Barker and Barisic. We were wearing our new retro kit as well, which looks absolutely stunning. However, I think it'll be consigned to the bin, I think, won't it?
Derek, I love it. I love the strip. I think it's cool as anything. As soon as I saw it, the first thing I said was, I wish that was an actual strip that we were wearing. And as you say now, because of this result, it will be, you know, that's what we will be reminded of any time we see it. And it's a real shame, but being superstitious as I am, I don't want the team ever to wear it again in case it happens, and it's really sad. But it is a top I will personally be buying once I have shed the weight that I've put on over the last 2 months, because I'm not going to shame myself into buying it now. But I absolutely love it, but it's always going to be, you know, it's going to go down as the time that we wore it and the time we got beaten, put out the cup, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just a sad fact, because it seems to happen quite a bit with Rangers in that way.
God.
We wear these good tops. And
yeah, I know.
Anyway, a bit of mystery, and it's never been clarified about what actually went on, but the referee was meant to be Andrew Dallas. However, he was replaced at the 11th hour by the fourth official, and there was a slight delay to the game as well. And as I said, it's never been clarified what was up. And his replacement was a fucking shambles. That's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, it started off great, because on the 6th minute, Goldson scored. We had lots of possession in the St Mirren half, putting pressure on them. The ball was in the box on the left, haphazardly cleared out. Comes to Goldson, he drove the ball forward on the right, got to the edge of the box and hit a shot on the left into the back of net. Great goal.
Great goal. Albert-esque. Derek, is what I'm going to say. Not quite as hard, but you know, the way that he ran in, he realised that there was nobody going to tackle him, but fantastic, the goals, and he looked up, he knew exactly where he was putting it, he knew he was going to get the shot away, and he dispatched it absolutely perfectly, didn't he? It was a great goal. If that had been a midfielder and a striker, you know, we would have been going on and on. So the fact, you know, our big centre-half scored a goal at, absolutely tremendous. It wasn't, you know, a powerful header or a glancing header for a corner or a free kick. Delighted for him. And, you know, at that point, Derek, I thought, if this is how easy that they're going to let our players in to have shots and all that, it's going to be a cricket score. I'll be perfectly honest with you. At that stage, I thought, we're totally on top here. Well, if we get another one quick, it's going to be an absolute annihilation. That's what I thought. And how fucking wrong was I?
Keep your thoughts to yourself next time.
Exactly, I know.
Yeah, and then really after that, it just turned completely pedestrian. We lacked clear cut chances. We were by far in control of the game, bar a 10-minute spell of possession from St. Mirren, where they'd actually done nothing. And then we gave away a penalty, just such a clumsy one to give away on the 38th minute. Aimless ball chipped into our box. It was just a clumsy tangle of the legs, really, with the attacker and Bassey, and the player was brought down. It's definite penalty. No arguments about that, but it was just such a clumsy and poor penalty to give away. If you're going to give away a penalty, just make sure it's a last minute challenge, not just a clumsy thing like that.
It was the fact too, Derek, I was looking back on it and I couldn't actually remember St. Mirren putting a cross into the box until that time. You know, a decent chance for them, and as you say, it was very clumsy. I felt it could have dealt with it a hell of a lot better. And I'm afraid for Bassey, again, he'll be remembered for something like that, which is a real shame, because I think that the laddie is going to be a fantastic player. But unfortunately, as you say, it was a definite penalty, really clumsy, and a really, really bad time to give away a goal, you know, near the end of the half to give St. Mirren hope. So, but unfortunately, they did.
Yep, so on the 39th minute, they duly scored by putting it down in the middle and into the back of the net. Just on the note of the penalty there, just as obviously we'll get into it with the Hibs game with the Ferrari about penalty gate, as we're going to call it now. But Jim Goodwin, the St Mirren managers, came out tonight and said that referees need to be brave and give penalties against Rangers when they're wanted. Well, I think it was Payne Bovril put a thing on their Twitter saying that Rangers haven't conceded any penalties in the league. Well, teams have to be in our box to be given
exactly.
penalties in the first place. That's
exactly.
the main thing. You look at the possession, you look at the amount of shots that we've had and the opposition haven't had, then it's quite clear that they're not getting that chance. But Jim Goodwin's got a considering that his own team got a fucking penalty against us. So
yes,
just Jim Goodwin needs to take a wee think about that before he says something. Then again, he is probably controlled by Lywell, so that's another story for another day as well.
Well, I mean, is there not a Celtic supporter shop in their stadium?
I think there is, actually.
There you go. Again, though, just trying to stir things up before the game, Derek, trying to make a name for himself, trying to make a talking point. I really hope that our team are using stuff like this. I really hope that they're going to be going in. We're going to get into it, Derek. So, you know, I'll speak about it later. But as I say, I think, you know, again, just trying to stir things up and make something of nothing, Derek. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So into the second half, we're looking for a wee bit more movement, a wee bit more pace within the game, and it never really came, because in the 52nd minute, St Mirren went 2-1 up down the right hand side. Beats Bassey, cuts the ball into the box, defence absolutely asleep, allows simple pass to beat everyone, two touches, two players into the back of the net, just poor all round from the defence. Considering the defence has been solid this year, we've given away such poor goals at times. And Bassey, that was the last thing he done, because in the 56th minute, both him and Arfield came off, Davis and Barisic came on. Bassey's not a bad player. He had an off night, as did the whole team, but he's something that you can't afford at this. At this level, it's a Scottish League Cup, for God's sake, but you cannot afford to do slip ups like that. And I'm glad that Gerrard noticed that a couple of minutes later, that he needed to be hooked, because it could have been a hell of a lot worse had they kept up the same tirade against them down that side.
It was a strange goal, Derek, for them to score and for more for us to concede. It was so, our defence was so pedestrian. There was nobody tracking. It was one of the easiest goals that you'll see a team score, wasn't it? Because neither of the players got picked up. Neither of the players had any men on them. and they had so much time. The cutback, he seemed to have an eternity to be able to stop, look up, see the man unmarked, pass it back and tap it into the net. It was bizarre, considering how well, touch wood, that we have been playing defensively, to see such a poor goal conceded. It was more bizarre than anything else, Derek, and just really, really disappointing, you know, considering the high standard that we have been defending.
Yep. However, on the 62nd minute, Kent had a driving ball forward on the left, going at pace. There was contact. Ref books Kent for diving.
Yeah, shocking. Absolutely shocking. Yep, totally.
It's well known that if you're travelling at pace, even the slightest wee knock will put you off and will send you flying. You don't need to give a foul. It didn't need to be looking for it. You don't need to give a foul, but to book him, that was just an absolute a joke from the referee there. Mm-hmm. 64th minute, ball into the back of net, but ruled no goal as the ball had went out of play. Itten with a 30-yard shot was bounced right in front of the keeper. The keeper saves, spins off him and goes to the left-hand side of the goal. Roof follows it up and takes it out of play, gets the cross off and Tav bundled it in the net. So quite correct that from the linesman there. 71st minute, Itten and Zungu off, Defoe and Kamara on. 73rd minute, was a free kick floated into the box from St Mirren on the right. A free header in the box forces a great save from McGregor, was flagged offside in any case. 74th minute, Tavernier with a shot from distance, skims across the ground and the keeper makes a decent save. 83rd minute, Balogun off, Hadji on. Balogun had picked up a head knock after a player led with the elbow and hit right in his head when going for the ball. Nothing given from the referee, of course. He never even stopped to play for the head knock. That was what was even worse about it. And I think he was out for the next game, was he not, as well, with a concussion. Yeah. So just a shocking referee in again. And once again, more shocking referee in, because in the 87th minute, I think it was Kent, was fouled on the line of the St Mirren box. You've seen the clear mark on the line of the box. And if it's on the line, it's a penalty.
Yep, exactly.
But a free kick was given.
Yep.
However, we did score from the free kick on the 88th minute with Davis scoring. Tavernier with a free kick right on the corner of the box on the left, up and over the wall, hits off the post, bounces back out to Davis, who hits a shot off the ground high into the left side of the goal. Brilliant, great follow-up from Davis there.
It was, and it was at that point, Derek, we thought, all right, that's it. It's not going to slip now. We have battled our way back into this. We have put them under all sorts of pressure. We've been really unlucky, and finally we've got our just desserts. That's what we thought was going to happen. I think we all thought it was going to go to extra time after that, but unfortunately it wasn't to be, was it?
Yep, because St Mirren basically went right up the park on the 91st minute and scored to make it 3-2. It was a corner in from the right, initially knocked away by McGregor, right back out to St Mirren on the left, who lofts a ball back into the middle. A great header goal bound, a great save by McGregor at close range, and the follow-up was knocked in. Can't blame McGregor at all. It was a great save. Maybe the player should have been picking up that man to knock it, get the follow-up there, stick someone in the post or something like that. But it was just typical of the way we were playing in this game. We were just lackadaisical all the time.
Yep, it was. And disappointing, Derek, for the fact that we had battled our way back in to be drawing. And then, you know, as you say, really, really poor again. Just straight after it, and basically that was us out the cup at that stage, wasn't it? You could see it in the players as soon as it went in. St Mirren took their chances. When they did, we didn't, and it was just really disappointing, Derek.
Yeah, so that was basically it. We had one last chance in the 85th minute, but ended up being a comfortable save for the keeper. But really, really annoying. I've seen a few comments on Twitter that night calling for the manager's head. And yeah, of course, it's something that was a big setback. We should have won the game, certainly not on the basis of the way we played, mind you. But I think some fans have got to realise that just because Celtic are out doesn't mean it's our God-given right to win the trophy. That's we've accused Celtic fans of entitlement all the time. I think we got complacent. We got entitled in that game. We just thought Celtic are out. It's out of the trophy's ours. And that's as much as we can say. Really disappointing. We would have liked to have picked up that silverware. The League Cup is our trophy. We've won it that many times. There's no much more you can really say about that. But for some fans to come away with the shite that we're coming away with was disgraceful, to be honest. It's one game we've lost all season so far. Granted, it was an important game, but every game is important. So we take it on the chin and these infamous words from Warburton, we move on.
Yeah, I know. It's the one bit of comfort I got from Derek, and I know it's not much because we do want to win silverware, we really do. But I was speaking to a Celtic fan at my work, and he was actually quite disappointed because, as he said, we're wanting Rangers to try and have as many games over Celtic as, you know, we can. And for Rangers to have went out of, you know, the League Cup, which he says lets them concentrate more and have less games, you know, to worry about. So I took a wee bit of comfort in that, Derek, but just really disappointing because it was a fantastic opportunity for us to win some silverware, and I was really quite gutted. But just the way the game went, Derek, it was never to be if you look the way that the game went for us. So as you say, we need to take it on the chin, Derek. Get back to concentrating in the league, and thankfully they have been doing so.
Yep. So the next game was Saturday the 19th of December. It was a 3-1 win at home to Motherwell in the Premiership. They put us through the ringer this game, didn't they? Five changes from the St Mirren game. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Arfield, Davis, Kamara, Roof, Kent and Defoe. On the subs bench were McLaughlin, Bassey, Hadji, Itten, Zungu, Patterson, Aribo, Barker and Stewart. So that's how we lined up. Motherwell seemed to line up with two banks of five. They played a 5-5-0, didn't they?
Yep, they certainly did, and they still managed to score there.
Yeah, so I mean, the first half it was largely frustrating, despite being all us. Motherwell were playing with two banks of five, sometimes dropped to a 6-4, with 11 behind the ball at all times. There was no attempt for them to get up the park at all. Very little breaks they had. They were happy for us to have the ball and come at them. Granted, it's up to us to break it down. However, we never played with any inventiveness, no pace, no movement. Again, relying on the raw skill of players, which was sadly devoid of most players in the first half. Second minute, good one-touch play on the edge of the Motherwell box with Kamara and Defoe linking well, ending in Defoe turning and hitting a snapshot. Saved by the keeper, spilled to the far post and knocked out for the corner. And then in the 6th minute, what is it with these 6-minute goals? Motherwell went 1-0 up. The first attack, it was their first attack and shot, poorly defended. It was a long throw into the box, not dealt with. Motherwell regained possession, fed into the right of the box, a simple diagonal cross on the right, on the deck, on the right, and not dealt with, and it was effectively tapping at the back post. Yeah. Once again, really poorly defended.
It was, aye, and a bad goal to lose, Derek, but that was the Motherwell attack for the whole game. Was yeah. It? No, you know what I mean? That was it. They scored their goal, as you say, it is probably the most anti-football game I have ever seen from a team in the same division as us to come and try and play. It's absolutely shocking. If I was fans of their team, I'd have been raging because I would have been saying, look, you're inviting it on. It was really bad to see. And thankfully, they got their just desserts for trying to play like that eventually. And, you know, and we got the victory. But I'll let you summarise the rest of the game. But really, really, I was really delighted at the end result in this game. But as I say, I'll let you get into it, Derek. A poor goal for us to concede at that point, right enough, but still hopeful that we were going to get something for the game.
On the 8th minute, Tavernier with a free kick over the bar from 20 yards, up and over the wall, but just too high. 17th minute, lots of possession. Kent on the right, cuts inside, drives it forward, crosses it in. Defoe gets a flick on. It was going wide, but the keeper took no chances and dived and put out for the corner. 24th minute, Tavernier on the right, cuts in, passes to Davis, who dinks it over the defence for the first timer. Kent with a header just wide. 27th minute, a stunning fast-paced cross on the left from Barisic, right to the back post, goes right to Tavernier and skiffs off off his forehead and out. He really should have buried it at that point. And that was really all that happened in the first half.
That was it, yeah. I know, but again, though, Derek, back to Motherwell, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Apart from that. So it was all us. I know that we weren't playing very well. And at that stage, Derek, Twitter was just exploding, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, some of the comments were, again, they were even worse than the St Mirren game. I just don't understand some fans. It was already calling for his head. This is fucking shit. This is blah, 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 blah. And quite honestly, if you can't calm yourself, just don't bother posting. I know I post some stuff during the game, but it's never, it's like, get your finger out your arse, Rangers. It's never anything, you know, nasty or anything like that, like the way it was. It was never calling people shite or anything.
That's just your personal account. You do that one day.
Aye, aye. But, I mean, some folk need to get a grip. They really do, because there was still only half a game of football gone. Still half a game to go. Anything can happen in a game of football. It's one game. We're going to drop points during the season. It's as simple as that. And if folk can't keep their powder dry, then they maybe just need to take a wee step back sometimes.
Exactly.
But anyway, into the second half, 45th minute before it kicked off, Kamara came off and Aribo on. 56th minute, a good move with Aribo getting the ball into the box on the right-hand side after a good 1-2. A good cross to the front post. The defender slid in to put out for the corner before Roof could make contact. 61st minute, the ball in the back of the net by Davis, but it was ruled offside. Correct decision. Kent had a shot from outside of the box. It was deflected off the defender into the path of Davis, who was offside for the original shot initially. 61st minute, Arfield and Hadji on, and that's what kind of changed the game, do you not think?
Yeah, no, I think so, definitely. It's just, I said that at the end of the game. I thought that Hadji had a huge role to play in us getting the goals in this game and really sort of changing. It was just like a different set of tactics, Derek. You can see that Motherwell were like, oh, shit, they've changed this up here. What the hell do we do? And we were suddenly finding more space on the ball and getting more chances. So to be fair to Steven Gerrard, he did change the game, you know, the way that we wanted, and it did make a huge difference.
63rd minute, a good passage of play with passing into the box. Defoe with a shot and blocked by the keeper. 70th minute, Defoe off and it and on. Another game changer, that one. 72nd minute, we got the goal and drew level with Roof scoring. A cross in from the right, from Tavernier, right to the back post. It and bundles into it, off the Motherwell defender, and Roof fires a spill ball high into the back of the net at close range. Just great all round again.
Yeah, it was a great poacher's instinct, Derek, wasn't it? And just a huge relief for us to be getting that goal, because we just sensed that with the amount of pressure that we were putting on, that Motherwell would collapse at that point, you know. So absolutely delighted that we still had time left to try and go and get the winner. Really, really pleased. Crucial time to score.
74th minute was a cross in from Barisic from the left. Roof gets a glancing header to it and just wide. 76th minute, Goldson with a header well over the bar after a free kick floated into the box by Barisic. And we went a goal in front on the 81st minute with Itton scoring. Corner in from the right, bounces through the defence in the middle. May have got a flick on. Itton was at the back post and heads the bounce ball into the back of the net. Again, great predatory instincts there, and another goal for Itton. All round brilliant.
Yep, superb. And Derek, you look back at the pictures, there's somebody, I don't know what photographer it was, got a great view of when Itton hit the ball with his head, and Motherwell had every single player in the box. When have you ever seen that? You know, with so long left in the game, for them to have every single player back, a whole, 11 players in their own box, and Itton still managed to score. It was absolutely brilliant. Great predatory instinct again, but Itton, great header, and just an absolutely tremendous tie. You just knew that was it. There was no way that the Motherwell were getting back into there. And a crucial time to score again. Absolutely brilliant. Totally uplifting. Got all the players going, and it's just great to see what you know when things like that happen. I was absolutely delighted. I was going mental when we scored that goal. So, you know, absolutely superb.
Yep. 82nd minute, Kent off and Zungu on. And then to rub salt into the wounds, 93rd minute, Roof put us 3-1 up. Good play down the left from with Aribo driving the ball into the box. Feeds it to Itton. However, the defender just gets a foot to it. Aribo was very aware, nips in and robs the ball back, feeds it to Roof in the 6-yard box, who takes a touch and hits it into the back of the net. Just brilliant from Aribo there. Great awareness.
Yep, it was, and a brilliant finish again by Roof, wasn't it? Great, super, just absolutely lashed the ball into the net. Motherwell were beaten, they knew that, and as you say, that, you know, made the result look a lot better, you know, exactly what we deserved, and just absolutely delighted, you know, that we were 3-1 up at that stage.
Yep. So that's how the game rounded out. Eventually got there. It certainly gave the heart a workout. They do it far too often, to us, to be honest.
And the Rangers Twitter, you were going to say...
Yeah, Rangers Twitter after the game aimed a wee dig at the fans, saying, "We see you deleting all those tweets from halftime."
Yes,
you
know, exactly.
brilliant, because it's just really, you know, it's what's needed, because it's quite clear that Rangers do see this online, that their social media has been spot on this year so far, and, you know, these things do get to the back to the club eventually. So, as I said, some folk just need to maybe stay off social media during the games if they can't keep their powder dry with it. Certainly have a go at the club after the game, but while the game's playing, you can't effing blind and say stuff like what they were saying, can you?
I think it shows, Derek, the, you know, the guile that the team have at the moment. That is a sort of never say die attitude. And you can go back to the game before again at St Mirren, you know, when we scored that goal so late on, thinking, you know, that we were going to go extra time. Unlucky, that one. This one was absolutely brilliant, considering how anti football that Motherwell were. Absolutely disgraced. They deserve nothing for the game, the way that the team was set out, the way, you know, I don't care what anybody says, you've got to do things like that. No, you don't. Motherwell aren't fighting, you know, at the bottom of the league. You know, they're no relegation fodder at this stage. They're a team that are in there battling, and that was just a disgrace. They got what they deserved completely. They got shown a lesson, and are just delighted the fact that we were getting beat for so long, Derek, and we came back and won comfortably in the end. It does show the determination and guile that we've got in the team now.
It says to other clubs as well, is fine, play like that if you want, we'll still beat you.
You know, and don't get me wrong, Derek, maybe last season, definitely two seasons ago and the seasons before that, there's no way that we would have won that game. And that, to me, shows how far that we've came, you know, that happened the other night. Absolutely brilliant. That's a huge, huge victory for us, that game against Motherwell. I think it really, as you say, it shows all the rest of the teams in the league that it doesn't matter if they come and try and play like that, we'll still beat them in the end. So, no, superb. Absolutely delighted.
And 82% possession as well, which is incredible. I had a wee look, and there's maybe about three or four games in the English Premiership history, but there's not many other games in world football, world club football, that is, that possession stats have been. So it just shows you how dominant we were in that game. I think, as I've said before, though, it brings their own downfall sometimes as well, having that much possession, because the opposition are quite clearly happy for us to have the ball. They'll sit back and it's like, right, well, come at us. And then it means our players have to move and do all the work, which is their prerogative to do. That's fair enough. But I think when we come up against teams like that, the players need to move a hell of a lot more than they've been doing. I know that it's tightly packed, but the players need to try and combat that by moving. And they certainly did more into the second half the way it went. But anyway, we'll move into the next game now, the second last game we've got to cover, which was Wednesday the 23rd of December, a 3-0 win away against St Johnstone in the Premiership. Christmas was saved, wasn't it?
It certainly was, Derek, and you know, you're about to get into it, but probably one of the most straightforward games that we've had a long time. Professional, that's the best way to say it. Nothing flashy, no risk taken. You know, everything was done perfectly. It was like a training match that had been set up for players to go through their tactics and the way that they should be playing the game, and it was done perfectly. It was just a really, really comfortable win, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, of note, St Johnstone were charging £17.50 to see the game on their TV network. A lot of folk have been jumping on the bandwagon, all ripping off the blue pound, but apparently they do charge that as per normal for every other team. And granted, we all understand the fact that if you were buying an away ticket, it would be £25-odd, so they are technically losing money out of it. And however, St Johnstone have claimed that they couldn't set it lower because of, you know, the circumstances they're in, they would lose too much money. But then surely 200 fans paying £10 is better than 100 fans paying £17.50. It works out better for the club because they make more money. They get more people in, which is better for the club sponsors as well, because the sponsors are getting more exposure that way.
Especially against us, Derek, especially when they know that they would get, you know, tens of thousands of people would download it if, you know, they were guaranteed to get a really good link for the game. They would do it. So it was a strange one. It's exactly what you said. They could have sold the game majorly and made a hell of a lot of money. So I don't know where their thinking was coming, but it was a hell of a lot of money to stream it, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, I've been a big advocate of the clubs going out on their own TV networks, and there needs to be some sort of system, because this might last for a good number of months, if not a number of years, the way it's going with reduced fans in stadiums. They need to get some sort of system, have an ombudsman or something like that to set up, so that, say, there's a, for the away team, there's a stand in charge or something like that. And I still think a tenner's too much, to be honest, for this, because you've got the potential to reach thousands more than that you can get in your stadium. So if you market it right, then you could be having viewing figures of thousands. Right. Rangers do it very well for a tenner. Obviously, that's, if you're abroad, technically, but VPNs are not illegal. They're perfectly legal to use. There's VPN companies even on their adverts that are saying this is a way to get round geo-restricted content as well, which is basically what this is doing. So I'm quite happy openly saying I use a VPN, as other Rangers fans are. The money goes directly to Rangers, and I'm still getting the St Johnstone game, so I'm circumnavigating St Johnstone because they were being arseholes about it there. So, however, there was two changes from the Motherwell game. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Davis, Kamara, Aribo, Kent, Hadji and Roof. On the subs bench were McLaughlin, Bassey, Defoe, Itten, Zungu, Patterson, Morelis, Balogun and Arfield. Third minute, Kamara plays a poor sideways pass in our half right to the St Johnstone player, who drives the ball forward. However, the defence got back in time to cover it and make the challenge to get the ball back before a shot could be taken. On the 8th minute, ball in from the right for St Johnstone, cut into the box on the deck. The attacker holds it up, passes out of the box, has a shot from their attacker, but it was a weak effort on the deck and comfortably gathered by McGregor. 14th minute, Kamara with a curling effort on the edge of the box on the left, just over the bar. It was a decent effort. And we went 1-0 up on the 23rd minute with Roof scoring. Quick break up the park with Kamara, who drives it into the defence. Lovely vision to cut it to the left to find Hadji, who has a great shot on the deck. Good save by the keeper, however, spilled right into the path of Defoe, who had poacher's instinct to follow up again.
Yep, superb. Great time to score there. It gets rid of any nerves and sets us up. So, brilliant stuff.
Yep. 31st minute, we went 2-0 up with Kamara scoring. Davis wins a header in midfield, gets it to Aribo, who drives it forward, plays a lovely through ball to Kamara, who was running into the box with one touch, stabs it past the keeper. Lovely goal.
Tremendous. I mean, it was just so nonchalant, wasn't it? Just the way that he had it, and just, the slightest wee flick past the goalkeeper to sort of roll it into the net. Great pass, through to him as well, but absolutely sensational finish by Kamara. Delighted. And you can see with Kamara, Derek, that as the season's going on, he's becoming more of the sort of, getting forward and helping the attack out as well, whereas, last season he wasn't doing that, and starting to really come into his own, isn't he? So, tremendous goal. Absolutely brilliant.
Yep. 42nd minute, a great bit of play started by a quick long ball by Goldson. Brilliant control by Roof, who can't get a shot off. Played round the box, then wide to the left, crossed in, an attempt at a bicycle kick by Aribo. Falls to our player on the right, back to Aribo, ending in a shot on the deck from Kent. It was at pace, but a comfortable save from the keeper, and that's how the half ended. So it was a professional first half. St Johnstone were lively, certainly more of a St Mirren than a Motherwell. They were chasing every ball and closing us down. As I said in the post-match pod, I wouldn't say it was a storm we weathered in the first 20 minutes, but we had to keep our wits about us. Hadji made an unusual start, but he was very lively, but he was also kicked all over the park, but the attitude of him was spot on. He just got up and got on with it, with no complaints as well.
Yep, not brilliant.
Yep. So into the second half, we basically rounded out the game on the 47th minute because Hadji made it 3-0. Davis wins the ball and plays the ball forward to Aribo. Aribo plays a great ball into the box to Roof, who dragged it to the right, held it up well and ended up having a shot, which was blocked by the defender, spun back out to Hadji on the right, who has a first-time shot. The sting was taken out of it by the keeper, however, spilled it back to Hadji, of all people, and into the back of the net. Great all-round play, but great instincts once again from Hadji.
Certainly was, Derek, and that was game over, wasn't it? We could sort of breathe a sigh of relief. We could go on and just sort of close the game out, which is exactly what we did. Just great to take control of the game so early in the second half and put the game to bed. Really thoroughly professional and, just really great to see.
Yep. 55th minute, St Johnstone get a break. May gets through the defence and gets a shot off in the box and a great save from McGregor. And I think that's the closest they came to scoring.
Yeah.
And in the game, just very well done from McGregor. Again, proving he's worth the fact that he's done it in a few games now. He's called out from nowhere and he makes just tremendous saves.
Yeah.
63rd minute, Roof off, Morelos on. 77th minute, Davis off, Zungu on. 81st minute, Hadji and Kent off, Itton and Arfield on. And then just bizarre from that weird man, Michael O'Halloran, because on the 82nd minute, he got his second yellow of the game. Two yellow cards inside a minute, both for rash challenges, both definite yellow cards, and he'd only came on 5 minutes beforehand as well. Just absolute bizarre, and I'm glad we don't have him on our team anymore.
I know, it was so strange. It was like, you know, I take it, you know, he was the one to play. I don't know, it was just bizarre, but we'll take it, Derek. It's one of these things that made things even easier for us at that stage, so you know, delighted that that's what happened. And you know, he's not a Rangers player anymore. I don't think he really should ever have been anyway in the first place, because he really did very little for us. And it's fine, it helped us out, and you know, we'll take it.
Yep. So the last piece of play was on the 84th minute. Keeper tries to hit it upfield after a pass back right to Morelos on the edge of the box. He was 1v1 with the keeper, took it forward a bit and shanks it well wide to the left post. Very poor, and as I said, probably a case of the Kenny Millers.
Yeah, it was. He had too much time in his hands, Derek. If that had been an instant, he would have probably thundered it into the net. So I put poor by his standards, but again, thankfully, it wasn't a crucial miss at that stage. So, you know, we can live with that.
Yep. So, delighted with that result. I saved Christmas and rolled us into the next game, which was Saturday the 26th of December. It was at home against Hibs, where we won 1-0 in a Premiership game. And you would have thought we would have been the luckiest team alive to come out this game with a win.
Unbelievable, the reaction that we had, you know, from... I'm going to say it's nothing that we're not used to now, Derek, but it's just incredible how it's like, you know, constant. It's as if we got absolutely annihilated in the game and we were lucky to get away with absolute nonsense. I'll let you get into the game, Derek, and then we'll talk about, you know, what actually happened afterwards.
Yep. So we had one change from St Johnstone. It was McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Balogun, Barisic, Aribo, Davis, Kamara, Hadji, Roof and Kent. On the subs bench were McLaughlin, Bassey, Hellander, Defoe, Itton, Zungu, Morelos, Barker and Arfield. Really difficult conditions as well. It was really gusty and really torrential rain conditions. Same for both teams. One note though, and I've seen it not just in this game because there's a few mentions on Twitter, the state of our pitch is fucking horrendous, I think. I know we had a lot of rain prior to this game, but we've had a hell of a lot of away games so far this year. And especially I thought the patches in front of the goal line was meant to be the hybrid, so it never got like that. But they're mud now. So I don't know what's happened with the park again. It's just became, it looks off to me again.
Yeah, no, it was. It did look really, really patchy again, Derek. And just like what you said, I thought myself as well that was, you know, the pitch wasn't supposed to get like that. So quite bad to see. But thankfully, you know, it didn't really, you know, play into the end result of the game.
Yeah. So on the first half, there was a drive and run down the left from Hibs, a great cross into the right to the back post. Player got to the ball and slid in and put it wide. Very dangerous. Arguably should have been a goal. And it's the exact kind of move that's outdone us in the previous games.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. 15th minute, a free kick on the edge of the box on the left by Tavernier. Up and over the wall and over the bar this time. 17th minute, corner from the left, not cleared, knocked out to Balogun in the box, blasts a place shot under the legs of the defenders and cleared off the line. So there's the first one that is off the line of the game. 24th minute, a corner in from the right, header by Goldson and the keeper with a great close range save off the line. The ball was eventually cleared. So that's the second one in fairly quick succession off the line there by Hibs. That's what everybody's forgetting about in this game.
All right. Yep.
31st minute, good move ending in Kamara playing the ball to Hadji, who has his back to goal on the edge of the box, receives the ball, turns in a quick snapshot just wide of the left post, and Hadji scored the only goal of the game on the 32nd minute, and he put us 1-0 up. Lovely move starting from a free kick 35 yards from goal, played to Aribo, who was getting held, manages to stab it to Kamara as he was getting dragged down. It was on the left, dinks a lovely ball to Roof, who puts in a great cross to Hadji in the centre, who hits it home. Just, again, an all-round lovely, lovely move. Great from Aribo, considering he was getting fouled at the time. Kamara, an even better ball into the box as well to Roof.
It was a great goal as well, Derek. You've got to give him that. He was behind the player. He timed his run perfectly. It was a great ball, but Hadji times his run perfectly because the defender had no idea where he was. The defender thought he was just going to clear it. Hadji was right behind him, darts in front of him, and places the ball away for the goalkeeper. So absolutely fantastic goal. Really, I don't think we've been assessing the goal, but it was a tremendous move and a fantastic finish by Hadji. It really was, and a great time for us to score. And as you say, we were the only team in it, Derek. Hibs had that chance right at the start of the game, and the rest of it were all sort of wee bit chances. It was us that were putting them under a lot of pressure. But bearing in mind, though, that Hibs were at least trying to go forward, which is totally different from the what Motherwell were doing. But thoroughly deserved at that stage, in my opinion, Derek.
Yeah. 34th minute, Hibs with a shot well wide, and on the 42nd minute, Davis with a shot from distance that went well off the bar. So overall, a good first half. Much like the St Johnstone game, it took us maybe 15-20 minutes to get going. Then we got a grip of the game where it was largely all us. Hibs tried to hit us on the break. We had some skillful passage of play, most of the possession. Hibs playing what looked like a 5-5 than a 3 at the back, and they sat every man back when we had possession. Yep. So, certainly delighted so far in the first half.
Yes.
Second half, 64th minute, corner from the left. The ball got tangled in the box, drops to Balogun in the 6-yard box, who blasted it goalbound, and another goal line clearance after the keeper saved a close range and then knocked out for the corner. So there's three goal line clearances Hibs have had in this game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
75th minute, Hadji off and Arfield on. 81st minute, Roof and Arfield off, Morelis and Zungu on. Arfield, I think he played more minutes than Halloran did in the last game there. Yeah, his studs got caught in the turf, and it looks as if he's injured his ankle. He's went for a scan. The way he went off as well, had to be carried off. It looks to be quite a bad one. We're still waiting on the results, but could be out for a wee while.
Yep.
84th minute, Hibs with a curling shot from the left, forcing McGregor into a good save, and he had to parry the ball away. 86th minute, corner in from the right from Hibs. The ball was knocked away. Back out to the corner taker, who whipped it back in. McGregor comes out and completely misses it, however, offside given. Kind of lucky that one there, because McGregor was flapping.
Yeah.
92nd minute, quick break up the park, ending in a 2v3. Morelis in the box, tries to beat the keeper, but the keeper narrowed the angle. Quite unlucky there from Morelis. So overall, I think it was a hard fought, if not a bit of a midfield slog. More often than not, we lost out in midfield. There seemed to be a player missing for us in midfield, certainly in the second half, and a bit of a disconnect between the midfield and the front line. For me, it would be fair to say Hibs were probably the better of the two teams in the second half, but nowhere near the world beaters they're being made out to be in the media. They're made out to be very unlucky. As we've both said, they had one shot on target the whole game. We had 63% possession, and we had three cleared off the line. You cannot say Hibs were unlucky to not get anything out of the game.
Hibs played well, Derek, right? They did, and they're one of the few teams that have really tried to sort of play football against us. But Hibs are a good team, Derek. I'm not going to slag them off. They are a good team, and for us it's a good test. It's a fantastic victory. The one bit that you went over that I thought was really unlucky is I honestly thought when Alfredo Morelos came on, that's what got us through to the end of the game, because the chance that Morelos had was an absolutely incredible move where he wins the ball back himself, he runs, he beats his man, he plays it out, plays the 1-2, he gets in, and if he scores that goal, it would have been one of the goals of the season. It was brilliant. But just the way that he came on Morelos, hungry, trying to win the ball, getting it, there was no nonsense, there was nothing dirty from him. Hibs panicked when Morelos came on because they saw what he was like, and they couldn't rest. And watching him, and I thought, that's what really has it. It's given our players a wee bit of belief, because certainly in the last sort of 10 minutes, we were getting the ball up front. Morelos was winning absolutely everything up there, so that was great to see. But I'm sure that you're going to get into the so-called controversial part of the game that the media have been... Oh, yeah, just before that again, Derek, before that, I want to point out as well how much of a disgrace the Sky commentators are. Now, we all know what Andy Walker's like. We all know who he played for, who he supports, who he cheers on. He can't hide his bias. But there was an opportunity that Hibs had that McGregor pulled off a save, and it was a straightforward save, Derek. It was in the second half, and it was one of the Hibs player hit a shot from the sort of corner of the box. I don't know if you can remember that or no. And Ian Crocker screamed like a woman as loud as he possibly could when the shot was made, and it wasn't even a shot that really troubled McGregor. He made a straight forward save, and it was clear, and he screamed the place. It's as if they were willing Hibs to score. It is the most unbiased commentary I've heard in so long, and we hear it all the time, but this game, especially for me, was absolutely shocking. And these guys should not be, you know, if you're going to be come totally biased like that, you should not be on the television. You really shouldn't. You shouldn't be allowed to commentate in these games. I thought Crocker was a disgrace, and Andy Walker was his usual total biased self. And as you're about to get into here, I'm sure, with the whole overhead kick clearance business again, which has spiralled out of control completely.
Well, just on the commentary issue, I obviously watch RTV, so I never hear what Sky commentary is all about. But I did see a comment as well that Andy Walker said, bearing in mind he's meant to be completely impartial, he says, here's hoping, this is the equaliser, I think, when they got a corner or something like that, or there was a passage of play up the front. They shouldn't be saying that. It's fucking ridiculous.
It was constant throughout the game, Derek, from both Crocker and Andy Walker. Hibs gone for the equaliser. Hibs piling the pressure, trying to get the equaliser, constantly going on about Hibs, the equaliser, and there was absolutely nothing for it. It's an absolute shocker. The only reason that I was watching it on Sky, Derek, was because I don't get Sky Sports, but the game for some reason was on Sky One, and I thought, right, that's fine, I can watch it on that. And I found myself getting more and more angry listening to the two of them. Like you, Derek, I watched the vast majority of the games on RTV, but I watched it on Sky One this time, and it was an absolute disgrace. And I want, you know, and anybody to hear it, the scream that Crocker let out with that shot was, I've never heard a commentator like it before. I really haven't. The only time that you would hear something like that is if you were listening to John Motson commentating on England at a World Cup. Do you know what I mean? And you're expecting him to be biased because he is English. But that was just, it was absolutely uncalled for. It was embarrassing. And it was just, you're like, this is what, you know, not, you know, people that are paying Sky Sports are having to pay to listen to just totally unbiased commentary, sort of biased commentary, I should say, and it's just ridiculous.
Well, as you were talking about the penalty gate, we're going to call it, is I missed it out in the main parts here, because I didn't think there were any issues to begin with, to be honest.
No,
I didn't think there were even the ones for us, and we've seen it back, it is. However, there was a challenge on Roof, I think, in the first half, where it was that fucking big lump of wood, Porteous. And it was a shocking challenge where he did get the ball, but he went over the top of the ball. He led
right
the studs
over,
high.
Right over the top, yep. Mm-hmm. Totally.
And he connected with
Roof's
leg. Yeah, dangerous play. No penalty.
Dangerous play.
No penalty, no free kick, no yellow or no red card. Not anything
again,
said about it.
And again, Andy Walker, a fantastically timed tackle, is what he said. Absolutely ridiculous, Derek.
There was another one in the first half, I think, as well, with Tavernier, and that, to me, that wasn't a penalty at all. That wasn't a foul. I think there was a coming together. There was nothing in that. However, the one that they're going apoplectic about was obviously Hadji's overhead kick in the box to kick the ball out of our box. Now, granted, he missed the ball. However, he missed the player completely as well.
Totally. Yep, completely.
So you look at the passage of play there as well. Hadji has his back to the player.
Yep.
He's completely got his head up looking at the ball the whole way, which is probably bad play considering they missed the ball as well, mind you. But he swung his leg up. He missed the player's head by a good foot, I would have said, nearly.
Yep.
And then the player went down as if he had been kicked in the head. And it's been clearly there was video evidence there was no contact whatsoever.
Yep.
So they're claiming that this was a penalty. Absolute bollocks.
Yep.
Absolutely. As I said on Twitter the other day, overhead and bicycle kicks by their nature means you have to have high feet. So if that's going to be ruled as dangerous play every single time, then why don't you just ban bicycle kicks and overhead kicks then, if that's the case? Because there's going to always be high feet involved in these. But in this instance, and no friend of Rangers, Dermot Gallagher, referee and consultant for Sky or whatever he does, said the exact same. To give a foul, there needs to be contact. There was absolutely no contact, so the correct decision was given.
Yep.
So this is what's the difference in us, and it's created a whole issue now, and there's been pressure put on referees for the game coming up against St Mirren. Obviously, what's happening with the Old Firm game, which always happens now. There's always leverage tried to get used and pressure put on referees to give stuff against us or for Celtic when it comes to an Old Firm game. Every single time.
Every game, Derek. It's been like that for years now, but it especially ramped up in the last sort of 3 years, hasn't it? It's got even worse.
And I'm slightly off topic as well. Now Celtic fans are a bit raging because apparently Stephen Gerrard never taken the press conference today, and they're suggesting they went down to Liverpool to see his family under lockdown conditions, and they want this investigated. Well, it turns out the rules, you're allowed to do that given the circumstances what he's in. His home is actually in Liverpool. He's working up in Scotland, so he's actually allowed to travel because it's classed as essential travel for work. So this is the kind of shit we have to put up with on a daily basis. And and this is the thing I meant to mention about the St Mirren game when we lost. Throughout this whole season, when we put our post-match reaction up, we get comments from Rangers fans. When there's a bad result, we always get comments from Celtic fans. They put our listenership up and they make us money, so that's quite fine.
Yep.
Not one comment all this season so far until the St Mirren game.
Yeah,
and we got a barrage of abuse. Ah, he's a fucking choker, blah, 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 blah. Despite the fact that their own club is going through turmoil, they actively seek out a Rangers podcast to make a comment on. It's fucking hilarious. It really is. They're just so obsessed with us. Their first thought and their last thought is always about Rangers, never about their own club.
I genuinely, Derek, I genuinely could not name you a Celtic podcast. I wouldn't know. To go to podcast, I couldn't rhyme off the name of a Celtic podcast to put in, mainly because I don't care. But secondly, I find that rather creepy. Do you know what I mean? You know that you would be obsessed enough to go on to a podcast for your rival team just so that you can leave comments and all that. They are a strange lot. They really are. But going back to the decisions and everything, Derek, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And is it maybe the fact that things are getting worse is because they're starting to panic now because we are still winning and we're keeping it up? Is that what it is? And going by everything that Jim Goodwin says, again, it's just another way of trying to get things stubbed up before a big game, you know, tomorrow. So I really hope that the players have listened to all this, Derek. I really hope that they are out for revenge for tomorrow, because it has now turned into a grudge match. I don't care what anybody says, and I just really hope that our players are really, really up for it and go out there and put on a performance and, you know, hammer them. To get over that ghost of that last game. That's what I'm hoping and praying.
Yeah. So, in the table, we have played 20, won 18, drawn 2, lost 0, scored 54, conceded 5, goal difference plus 49, and we're on 56 points. 16 ahead of Celtic, who have got 3 games in hand. 18 ahead of Aberdeen, who have got 1 game in hand. Celtic as well, with St Mirren beating us, I think one of their games in hand is against St Mirren, so that will be postponed again as well, which was good to see.
Yeah.
I know people are saying, well, it's only a 7-point advantage. Well, no, it's 16 points. Let's get that clear.
Yeah.
Our points are in the bag, Celtic's are not. The way Celtic have been playing, and even though they won, what was it, 3-0 at the weekend there, taking a dubious penalty in the 54th minute to
dubious. You're saying dubious, Derek. You're taking that very lightly. It was fucking never a penalty, put it that way, but there you go.
But it is 16 points, and that's the main crux of the matter there. They still have to earn the points. Or rather, Celtic don't earn things. They just get handed to them, don't they?
Exactly.
So we'll wait and see what happens there.
Exactly.
So with games to come, the next game, as we've said, this podcast will be well and truly out of date by the time this game comes around. But the 30th of December, away to St Mirren in the Premiership, that's a 1500 kickoff. Had been 1800, however, both clubs agreed to move it to 3 o'clock. Yeah. A mad dash home from me for Mock Tomorrow, and a lot of people are going to miss the game as well.
I'm quite glad, Derek, because the fact that the Celtic are also playing their game at 3 o'clock, I want us to be sort of level timings with them. And you know, I would rather that we played first and got the win first to put the pressure on them. I would, you know, so I'm pleased in that sense that, you know, that they're able to do it. So here's hoping, fingers crossed, and just exactly like what I said, Derek, I hope our team are really up for it and go and put a performance on.
Yeah. Next game, Saturday the 2nd of January at home to Celtic in the Premiership. That's a midday kickoff. Bobby Madden's a referee. I don't understand why people, every time the referee's announced for this, it's like, oh, fucking typical. Who's a good referee? Absolutely. Exactly. It doesn't make a difference who the referee is. They're all shite.
I'm just glad it's no Kevin Clancy, Derek. That's all I can say.
You're as bad as them, Dave. Come on.
Oh, no, man.
It's going to be an interesting one as well, because obviously the Loving Cup ceremony will take place. So we'll see Peter be in the blue room toasting the queen.
I'll tell you this right now, Derek. There will be no Loving Cup ceremony unless there's been something that came out, just because they'll use COVID as the reason that they can't share, you know, the cups and stuff like that. And that's how they'll get around it. I'll be very, very surprised if that goes ahead and COVID will be used as the excuse for it to be cancelled.
Quite possibly.
Yep.
And also, on a more somber note, it's the Ibrox disaster memorial as well.
Yes.
50 years since the disaster. Obviously, there was a programme on BBC about it last night, which we'll obviously get into, but that'll be a sombre moment as well, and certainly sad times to remember those that never came home from a football game. Next game after that, Sunday the 10th of January, away to Aberdeen in the Premiership. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Sky moved the game twice. It was meant to be 3 p.m. on the Saturday, then they moved it to the Sunday at 16:30, and then it's been moved to 1500 on the Sunday, so God knows what's happened there. And then on Sunday the 17th of January, away to Motherwell, that's in the Premiership, and that's a midday kickoff as well. So a lot of games to play.
Yes, four really tough games, Derek. Four games that if we were to say, and I'm not jumping ahead of myself, but in a perfect world, if you got maximum points from all those four games, I would say that would be putting us in an incredibly commanding position. So bring on the game tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. I hope we smash them and it puts us in good stead for the game on Sunday. So
here's a question. We win tomorrow night and we get the 3 points. Would you be happy with a draw against Celtic?
I think a draw for Celtic would be more damaging than a draw would be for us. But I want to really go out and be totally outclass them at Ibrox, because I think that when it comes to players like Ryan Kent and Kamara playing against Celtic, they just can't handle them. And I would really like to see us go out our full potential and batter them, because they are, that last game, Derek, they were incredibly lucky to get goals in that game. And I think that they are struggling majorly. And I think they'll have to change the way that they play Celtic, because I was, you know, reading that they were playing two up front. There's no way that they'll do that against us. They'll have to change again and play more of a defensive game against us. And we really should be going out and winning. We should be taking the game against Hibs, the game against Motherwell, as being the sort of standard of the team that we're playing against, and we should be beating them. But again, a draw, I think, is more damaging to them than a draw for us. So we'll wait and see, Derek, as long as we don't get beat.
Yep. So we'll now move into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So, Dave, what classic match have you got this time?
I have got a title clincher, Derek, from 2000, the 1999-2000 season. And it was a game, a straightforward game. Rangers were not quite technically champions. We were well ahead on goal difference. Basically, we were going to be crowned champions regardless, but a victory was going to make it complete and we were going to be crowned champions that day. It was at McDermott Park where we played St Johnstone, and it was on the 23rd of April 2000. Dick Advocaat's men travelled to take on Sandy Clark's team. The Rangers team in that day was Stefan Kloss, Lorenzo Amoruso, Arthur Newman, Barry Ferguson, Andre Kanchelskis, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Rod Wallace, George Alberts, Claudio Reyna, Scott Wilson in the defence, and Billy Dodds. On the bench was Brown, Malcolm, McCann, Rosenthal and Tugai. Like I said, Rangers all but champions that day. You know, they were just playing the game out, but an actual victory would have given them the championship on that day. And the first opportunity fell early in the game, and it was an Andre Kanchelskis corner into the box. Lorenzo Amoruso, you know, up in the air, headed the ball over the bar. Really unlucky there. Not long after that, Barry Ferguson fouled midfield that the ref played on. Alberts ran onto the edge of the box. He played in Wallace, but a last-ditch tackle was out for the corner. So, you know, the referee playing advantage there. Then not long after that, Lorenzo Amoruso, with some superb play in his own left-back area, skips past two players with the ball, and then a really late tackle against him, a dirty one, gave the free kick away. But some fantastic footwork there by Lorenzo Amoruso in his own defensive area there. St Johnstone then had a couple of chances. It was Kevin O'Halloran who shoots to the edge of the box over Stefan Kloss's bar, so it's still 0-0. Then another chance for St Johnstone as Parker shoots over from just inside the box. That was a better chance. But then, thankfully, just before half-time, on the 42nd minute, Rangers took the lead.
Wallace, doing a bit of shielding. Alberts, on run the side to Billy Dodds, and it's there! From an almost impossible angle. A beautifully manufactured goal, and there are the Rangers' injured players acknowledging that, especially Michael Bowles, who can score goals like this. Delightful build-up here. Alberts, the good run forward by Billy Dodds, and a beautiful little chip.
Some great passing play right across the Rangers' midfield, and eventually the ball finds George Alberts on the left wing. He sees Billy Dodds making a run to the byline. He plays in a superb ball, and Billy Dodds hits a shot, you know, chips it over the goalkeeper from a really impossible angle. Absolutely tremendous goal, really tight angle, past the goalkeeper, 1-0 to Rangers just before half-time. That sort of settled the nerves for us going into the second half. So into the second half, Rangers made a change. Sebastian Rosenthal came on for Rod Wallace. And then early in the second half, Amoruso, he wins the ball in midfield, a loose ball. He plays the ball to George Alberts. He passes the ball up to Sebastian Rosenthal on the edge of the box. He then puts the ball out to the right-hand side to Andre Kanchelskis, who plays the ball straight back to Rosenthal on the edge of the box. He dummies it. Lorenzo Amoruso had stayed up. He has a shot. It was just wide. It was a fantastic move. If that had went in, it'd been a fantastic goal. Really unlucky there by Rangers. Totally in control of the second half, spreading the ball about. And then on the 60th minute, we really put the game to bed and clinched the title.
Reyna. Away goes Reyna in a good position. Van Bronckhorst gives support. So does Rosenthal going in there. And it's it! Billy Dodds finishes off the move. Second of the night. Excellent play by Rosenthal. The goalkeeper striving to get the first touch. And I think he's annoyed with himself. He didn't get in there at first. Rosenthal making that diagonal run. Given time to turn it back. And Billy Dodds, avaricious as ever, getting in there. Rangers second.
Claudio Reyna in midfield, he runs with the ball, puts a through ball through to Sebastian Rosenthal, who made an incredible diagonal run to the byline, completely loses his player, crosses the ball backwards, and there's Billy Dodds just to tap the ball into an empty net. Tremendous ball there by Claudio Reyna, even better play by Rosenthal, just showing the flashes of the player that we were hoping that we were going to get before his horrible injury. Brilliant vision, great ball back, and 2-0 to Rangers. In a strange decision, a ball was played into the Rangers box, and Wilson tries to clear the ball. It was a bit of a clumsy one. The ball bounces, and he gets up and tries to clear the ball. The ball was going right over Stefan Kloss's head into the goal, and Kloss had to sort of dive backwards to grab the ball, stop it for going into the goal. But the referee judged it to be a pass back for some reason, and it was an indirect free kick to St Johnstone in the box. But thankfully, nothing came of it. Really, really strange. But then, ugly scenes not long after that. A bad tackle by O'Halloran on Van Bronckhorst. Studs up. A lot of pushing and shoving. And because of that, Van Bronckhorst gets taken off for McCann, I think, just as a precaution. But a really, really bad tackle there. And then it was a Barry Ferguson show after that. First of all, he has a shot for the edge of the box, which was just wide. And then he sets up George Alberts, plays a 1-2 with him to the edge of the box, and again in a great position, shoots just over. Andre Kanchelskis then off and two guy on, and then a really poor miss by George Alberts standard after he picks up the loose ball in the box, right in front of goal, but sort of scuffs his shot wide. You can't believe he never hit the target with that one. Then some more chances coming to the end of the game. Arthur Newman on the left wing, he gets down to the byline. He cuts the ball back to Sebastian Rosenthal, who shoots. It's blocked, comes back to Tugai, who tries to place his shot, but it's deflected away for a corner. Really unlucky there. And then Dodd really should have claimed his hat-trick right at the end of the game. He, you know, McCann dinks a fantastic cross right to him, right in front of goal, and he heads it wide. No, it must have been harder for him to miss there. But that was the last action of the game. Rangers won 2-0. That result then, you know, put the league championship beyond doubt. Rangers clinched the league then. Dick Advocaat's second league title when he was there. Some fantastic players to watch. And, you know, a game that I had completely forgotten about. And I actually think I was at the game. I was lucky enough to get a ticket to go to it. It's one that you think back, well, where have Rangers clinched the titles about? And it's one place that you keep forgetting, because it's usually sort of dramatic title clinchers, you know, that we win, you know, Tannadice and Kilmarnock and then, you know, places like that and Hibs and stuff. So it's obviously a place that you always forget, but certainly great memories to go back and look on, watch us winning the title there with ease, you know, winning it, you know, in April at a breeze as well. You know, with Dick Advocaat, had a fantastic season that season, and just a great game to go back and watch. So if you get the chance, please do.
And I've had a look at the league table. It is highly unlikely we're going to be able to clinch the league at St Johnstone's ground this season, because they're firmly in the bottom six just now. So. Yes, another great result and, you know, title clinching day. So
yep.
Hopefully we see that again this year.
Exactly, yes. That's what we're hoping to. Well, next year, you mean?
Well, yeah. Technically, yeah. So we'll go now into the news. So the main part of the news, we've obviously had our AGM on the 15th of December. It was held virtually with pre-recorded videos due to COVID restrictions. Everything was positive, you know, everything's obviously going fairly well for us just now. This on-field has been going good, off-field's been going even better. All resolutions were passed and all directors voted back on the board. Obviously, a lot was talk about what's happening off the field just now. In our rebuilding process, which is still ongoing. John Bennett, our deputy chairman, had a great soundbite saying that there's two numbers that are important to us, 55 and 150. Yeah. Brilliant there. A lot of talk about the four pillars that they've put in place, which is the fans, the commercial aspect, the European participation and player trading. Talked about stadium expansion. That obviously had our fans on Photoshop as usual, and some of it a piss take, some of it going into in-depth, right, this, what we can do here. Yeah. Let's just see what plans that can be done before we get too Photoshop happy with that. Talked about our 150th celebration, including Edmondson House. Obviously, that'll be getting built for the opening of the first half of the year. Also about the 50th anniversary of the Ibrox disaster commemorations and how they obviously cannot commemorate it in the manner they would have liked due to all the COVID things, but they're doing what they can. They're trying to involve the families in it as well. Also talked about the commercial side of the business, which has been a great success so far, especially the Castor deal, where 200,000 Rangers items have been sold, which for my quick sums if you just take that as pretty much tops and things like that, you're looking at upwards of £10 million that has been made. Obviously, the club won't see all of that, but a good chunk of it will come to us as well. So, I mean, it just shows you when you've got a good retailer and you've got somebody that's above board, touch wood.
And Derek, I think it'll get even better than that because of COVID. You know, a lot of us haven't been able to go into the new shop. And as I say, I would love to go in and try on that traditional top that we've brought out because you can never ever trust sizes and stuff if you send away for it. So I think once that all passes, I think, well, you know, the retail will go, you know, through the roof even more because the amount of money I think that will get spent in the shop will be unbelievable. So I think it's all positive going forward. I'm really, really confident about that.
Yeah, they talked about obviously the governance of the game and how the last season ended and how they were disappointed. It drew a few comments from a few people online saying, "Well, fucking do something about it." Then, well, the hands were tied. You know, Hearts had more of a claim than us to take it further forward. We done everything in our power to take it forward with the other clubs. The other clubs didn't want that, and I think they're kind of regretting that now, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Which we'll get into another thing in a minute. BBC, the dispute, they've said, is still ongoing. It's been ongoing for 5 years now. Some fans have kind of called for just to give in and end it. Absolutely no chance that's going to happen, because if we give in and end it and just bow down to them, it allows them to do whatever they want in the future. Yeah. So that's, you know, quite rightly the club are running its course with that one. Of note, though, of the BBC, and they did put out a programme last night about the anniversary of Ibrox disaster. It was very tastefully done, I felt. Yeah. It's nothing new. We've not already heard about the causes and what went on. They got interviews with a couple of the victims' families and a couple of Celtic supporters who were at the game who were friends of a couple of the victims as well. And a lot of people, and I know it's a very emotive subject and it's highly sensitive as well when it comes to this, a few people did take offence to the BBC, try to do their usual thing and try to put a spin on it. I don't think that was anything part of it. It was obviously all to do with the last 10 minutes when they did go into the civil case that was brought against Rangers, which was, it was found in the complainer's favour that Rangers were negligent and part of it. And they led to a director's comment at the time basically saying, well, this is what all grounds are like, which... As at the time, all grounds were like that, and it taken, you know, that disaster at Ibrox to get something changed at Rangers, and then it taken the unfortunate events at Hillsborough to fully change stadiums all around Britain. So it's one of these unfortunate things that you hate to see it, obviously, but it takes a disaster and something horrible like this happening for change to happen sometimes. And by no means do we wish that it ever happened. Same with Hillsborough, but... It's what forced the change around football grounds in Scotland, so and Britain, rather. So it did, something good did come of it ultimately, but rather it been not happened than anything else, obviously. But I felt the programme was tastefully done, I felt. I don't know if you saw it, Dave.
Yeah, I did, Derek. My thoughts, again, it must have been really quite painful for, I actually know someone that lost their granddad, but believe it or not, Derek, he was a young man, and went away to the game and never came back. It's you know, it's something that, you know, affects, you know, a lot of Rangers fans out there. And as you say, it's just, it's sad that we've got this magnificent stadium that we have, and it's all done on the fact that we had the disaster and so many people died. It's a sort of bittersweet thing, isn't it, with the stadium, the fact that we have got it, but it came about because of a disaster. It's something that the Rangers fans will never forget. And the programme itself, I lump in my throat a few times by watching it back, because, again, I know you've heard that 100 times, that no fans should go away to the game and not ever come back. So, you know, so somber times to remember. And, you know, a part of our history that we will always remember, but very, very sad. So,
yeah. There was a wee bit of more fallout as well from the AGM as well, and it regards Club 1872. John Bennett was stated that Club 1872 were offered participation at various times with equity issues, and Club 1872 didn't take up those offers. Club 1872 disputed this, or at least the way it was put across by John Bennett. Again, it doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth at all when it comes to Club 1872. They've confirmed that they'll be looking to both participate in future share issues as well as buying Dave King shares. I think they've maybe had sight of Nicola Sturgeon's money tree, because I don't see where they're getting this funding to both pay Dave King £13 million as well as fund share issues that the club run. I really don't get that. And it just once again leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I know a lot of other people felt the same as well about the lack of trust that's there. They're in agreement that they know that they need to up their game in terms of governance as well and make it more professional. And certainly the first hurdle straight away, they've not done very well. But that's we'll need to wait and see how that pans out.
Yeah, exactly.
Rangers have teamed up with Lucozade Sport to become the club's official hydration partner. So the commercial partner is working wonders again, because I never knew there was such a thing.
No, I didn't either. hydration partner, there you go. It's another huge name getting linked to the club, Derek. So as you say, they're in a fantastic job because they're a huge name. So, you know, keep it coming, Derek. It's more money to the club, but it's more recognition. So, you know, excellent news.
Yeah. A rather strange one here. The UK competition watchdog has launched an investigation into us and sportswear retailers over the price of replica kits from last year. So this is all to do with the Hummel deal. It's nothing to do with the current deal just now. It's regarding Rangers, Hummel, JD Sports and Greve Sports. And it'll take roughly about 6 months. It surrounds price fixing of kits and it might not even bear fruit at the end of it. And I don't think it even appears that it'll affect us at all as well. So I think it's to do with previous deals. To me, I suspect it's the last throw of the dice by Sports Direct and Ashley trying to cause havoc here. From what I remember, I don't think there was the price of the tops for the Hummel tops were out of the ordinary, were they? You know, they were around about £50-60.
Which is what we're paying just now. So, aye, that's...
The only thing I can think of is it was maybe the wholesale price in terms of what the manufacturer sells on to the retailers, and they've maybe done something that way. I don't know, that's pure speculation on my part, but there's something fishy about it to me, given the fact that it's with these kind of retailers and who we're in dispute with Mike Ashley. So.
Aye, well, I think we'll wait and see what pans out there, Derek, because just exactly like what you said, there was never a time that we said, oh, it's extortionate to pay at a top, considering that that's basically the same price as all other football tops and, you know, all the other sportswear connected to it. It's, you know, just about the same price as all the other competitors out there. So, aye, quite a strange one, that.
Yep. Couple of other things here is the Old Co tax bill has been reduced by another £3.1 million. So here's where it gets rather just silly now. It was initially claimed that the tax bill was £94.4 million. Mm-hmm. It now stands at £64.5 million, mm-hmm. with £51 million of that still in dispute, and most of that relates to EBTs. Mm-hmm. So I've always said at the time, we used about £100 million worth of EBTs. The tax on that was not £100 million. It was whatever it was, £20-odd million. So it just goes to show you, from £94 million to, if this £51 million is knocked off, to £15 million tax bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Look how much of a difference that would have made to us, because HMRC have fucked up royally with this one.
It's and what will happen, Derek, that's the thing. We said it for a long time. It was something, you know, it was either a monumentous fuck-up or it was done deliberately, allegedly, I'll say, you know, before we get into any bother. But it's there's more and more that comes out about this, Derek. It really does smell as shite. And, you know, it's as you say, there will be more and more will get knocked off, more and more will get knocked off. And that £51 million, as you say, is in dispute. So if that does, exactly like what you say, that bulk could have been paid off extremely easily and we would never have to have gone through everything that we did. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens next in that one.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have years to roll on it yet. So.
We'll do, yeah.
Yeah. Next thing, Ross County have cleared Michael Gardine of any wrongdoing after accusations he used homophobic language aimed at one of our players in the last game against us. Absolutely nothing from the compliance officer in relation to this. Kel surprise again, but as I said, when it happened, players and our bench don't react like that if it was he called them a fanny, which is what was alleged. So I think it's been a wee bit more serious. Ross County have cleared the player, nothing from the compliance officer. One of our players has apparently had some abuse thrown at him. What else can you do?
Aye, I know. It's again, we've got to go by everything that's said by the clubs and the players and how far that they wanted to go, but it's, we don't know the full ins and outs of it at all, Derek, do we? So we've got to go by what's been handed out. It'd have been interesting to see if the shoe had been on the other foot, if there had been anything, you know, the compliance officer had been brought in or anything like that. But, you know, we have to live with it. We have to go on with it, so just leave it at that.
Yeah. Davy Robertson has led Real Kashmir to their first ever trophy, with his son Mason scoring the winner. They won the IFA Shield after a 2-1 win in the 170-year-old competition. So fantastic. Brilliant. For Robertson there.
Superb. I'll be looking out for the BBC programme, because that was just classic in entertainment, with him just constantly swearing and trying to fight with all the other managers and everyone. It was brilliant.
Next thing here, St Mirren and Kilmarnock were appealing their charge of COVID breaches, which means their punishment of their forfeit of the three games between both of them has been suspended pending appeal. You honestly couldn't make this up now, could you? I mean, this is 4 weeks on from the last podcast we done, and we're just getting round to hearing this a couple of days ago. So how long has this been rolling on for? So what it means is these three games are still potentially to be played then, if they win their appeal.
Yeah.
How long do the SFA allow, you know, due process to roll on?
It's incredible. It just shows you, Derek, that they really truly don't know what they're doing. It's quite incredible. And it'll roll on again, and as you say, it'll end up that these games will have to get played again at the end of the season. It's a total farce.
Yep. Another farce, one farce to another. The Motherwell fan accused of throwing a hot drink over Morelos was cleared after the judge ruled not proven. This is what baffles me here, is Motherwell themselves reviewed the CCTV at the time, found that it was unquestionably him, handed the evidence to the police, and Motherwell gave him an indefinite ban from the stadium. He pled not guilty in the initial hearing, and his defence was that he can't make himself out on that, and he might have been standing in that section, but he doesn't believe that image was him, or the video was him. The chief executive of Motherwell told the court that he knew the accused through links with the supporters group, so he knew him personally, and he was able to ID him from pictures and videos.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, what
more do you want?
Well, exactly. So what that judge has now done is opened the floodgates for this type of defence to be used every single time, when all that there's got is still images or videos. So, I mean, we know that the football fans get treated differently when it comes to breaking the law or seemingly breaking the law and things like that. However, I make no excuses for arseholes who throw things onto the pitches and things like that. So even when there's clear, seemingly irrefutable evidence from a very credible source, all you need to do now is just say, I don't think that was me, and you're going to get off with it, because a precedent is set, and it's a very dangerous one for me. Because you've seen some of the images that the police release when they're trying to ID people, and they're ridiculous images, some of them, because the CCTV isn't up to scratch, and you get people getting ID'd on the back of that. All you need to say is, wasn't me, that doesn't look like me. No, I wasn't there that day.
I know, ridiculous.
Yeah. So, footballer facing ban after flashing his penis during a celebration.
Okay. Right, on you go.
A footballer could be facing punishment after he displayed part of his penis during an over-exuberant goal celebration. Yes, Rod Petrie, this is what you call over-exuberance.
Yes.
Raul Bobadilla, who plays for Club Guarani in Paraguay's Premier Division, was clearly delighted with his late goal against Libertad last week, giving his team a 3-0 to 3-2 win. After scoring, the 33-year-old whipped off his shirt and GPS vest, but then, for some reason, decided to pull his shorts partway down too.
Oh, no.
According to the reports, the referee didn't catch a proper glimpse of the incident, so he managed to get away with it during the match. Speaking after the game, Bobadilla referenced the celebration, telling reporters that he had hoped his missus hadn't seen. He's reported to have said, "I regret my celebration. I hope my wife didn't see it. She should remain calm. It's all for her."
Was that Bobadilla or Bobadilla?
Bobadilla, I think. However, the Paraguayan FA have now opened up an investigation into Bobadilla's celebration after a clip started doing the rounds on social media.
Oh my God. No. This has got to be a lesson to any Rangers players out there. Didn't do anything like that, because you would end up getting sent to the country. You'd be banned for the country if it was a Rangers player that did that.
And a bizarre other story, though. Earlier this year, a French footballer landed himself a 5-year ban after biting an opposition player's penis. The incident actually happened a year before the second division clash between Terville and Sostrich. The bizarre incident happened between two players, and they started fighting before a second Terville player attempted to break it up. But a player from the Sostrich team didn't take too kindly to this and ended up getting involved and biting the opponent's penis. The bite left the poor bloke needing 10 stitches and missed 4 days off work.
My God!
The Football District's Emmanuel Salling said the events took place after the match in the stadium car park. There was an altercation and an escalation, and things got worse. It's quite rare to have sanctions of several years. There are less than 10 per year. The case was a bit saucy, but it must have some nasty tension. So smiles on the disciplinary committee were
quickly. Oh my God. And here was us thinking that Luis Suarez biting incident was bad, Derek. That just takes it to a whole new level.
Exactly. So, on that note, we'll end the podcast. So, we have managed to get most of the website updated. You can go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. Now you can find all the links to all the post-match pods and our previous podcasts as well. And hopefully, in the new year, I'll be looking to do some updating of the graphics and the layout as well. But we'll just see what I get around to.
Good.
So, we've obviously got a good run of games. I'll be back with a post-match reaction. This podcast might be even out after the St Mirren game, so we'll be a wee bit out of date there, but we'll see what happens there.
Yes, just hope, Derek, for the team can keep going on, keep winning, especially the next few matches. Big one tomorrow against St Mirren, and, you know, keep going, go out there, show everybody that was just a one-off, a fluke in that cup game, get a good victory, stand us in good stead to go on and play in that mob on Sunday. So, you know, let's do it, Rangers.
Yes. So, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Good man, every Sunday he got me to name three teams to win. I have Hibs, Brentford.
Fuck off! No way! Oh, it's 2-1.